Thank you, Brother John and Miss Jean. Thank you all for being here tonight. As we get ready to open God's Word, we're going to be in Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 13. As we take a one-week break from the book of Proverbs for Memorial Day, and I've got so many things on my heart, I don't even know where to start. So I have tried to organize this through the Holy Spirit the best I can. And I want to say this from the get-go. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we may disagree on God's election. We may disagree on irresistible grace. We may disagree on total depravity. But that doesn't mean we can't walk out of here and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. That we love each other. We care about each other. And we can have some, you know, talks about some things in the Bible. And tonight I just want to share my heart. And as I share my heart, I don't want to offend anybody. Okay? Because you may be on the other end of the spectrum. And if you are, that's between you and the Lord. The way I feel tonight's between me and the Lord. And He's burdened me with a message tonight to share with the local church. Because I feel like sometimes we are so blinded. And through that blindness, we listen to everybody under the sun instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. And tonight I hope that you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. The text tonight is in Romans chapter 13. What an incredible book on doctrine. From Romans 1 all the way through Romans 16. Just, man, incredible doctrine. And he gets here to chapter 13, and he, under the Holy Spirit, writes these seven verses that we want to look at tonight about the government. The government. Now, we think we got it bad. Paul had it rough, didn't he, under Nero. And when we think about these things, We see that as Paul is writing this under the Holy Spirit, we see some things that I think would be good for us to reflect upon. But also some times where in the Bible, when you look in the book of Daniel, you look at Peter and John, Paul and Silas, there's example after example in the Bible of where even Jesus himself, there was time to make a stand. And tonight, as I told you this morning, on Memorial Day weekend of 2021, it's time for Christian people to make a stand. Amen. So as we make that stand, let's work our way through the Word of God tonight. And I just want to give you a couple things to think about. And again, I don't want to lose your friendship over something like this. And I certainly don't want to lose, the fellowship with brothers and sisters tonight. If you get offended or get mad, you know, we can always just sit down and talk it out, okay? Always can sit down and talk it out. But let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Let every soul, not just the saved, but the unsaved. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. As we talked about this morning, God created the institution of home, which is one man, one woman, under marriage. And he gets blessed by marriage. Last night I had a wedding out at 4B Ranch of a former student that I coached and another student that was I was her principal. And I was honored to be able to do that wedding. And I told those kids that. I said, I'm honored to be that you called me to ask me to do your wedding. That's an honor. And I said, you guys are doing the right thing. And this is a crowd that may have not heard the words of Christ before, and they listened, and I told this couple, I said, the thing that thrills me the most out of everything is when we sat down and went through the parameters of your wedding, the parameters of biblical counseling for your wedding, is that you two both told me that you wanted to come to church at New Hope. That just thrilled my soul, and I'm going to hold them to the fire on that, right? So, when we think about that, every soul be subject to the governing authorities. He's established the home. The man is the husband. the wife, and the woman is the wife, and that is the home. And then he has established the church. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? And we know that Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God for that tonight. So we know, regardless if persecution comes our way, we'll keep on standing. And so the next thing we get to tonight is government. Okay? And man, I had to take so many government courses in college. There is a plethora of types of governments in the world. You know, a plethora of types of governments, okay? Many people call us a democracy. We're not a democracy. Democracy means ruled by the... We're not ruled by the people. We're a republic. We take people that we vote in, and they go and represent us. And some of them have sold us out. They've sold us out. It says we've been their constituents, and we voted them in to go up there and represent us, and they've not done a very good job of it, to say the least. So that's why it's so important for you and I to vote, okay? But he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Subjection means there to be submissive, to submit to the governing authorities. In Titus, in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says the same thing to young Titus. Let me read this to you just real quick here. He tells young Titus in chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. Okay? To obey and to be ready for every good work. The world should see a difference in us as Christians. We should be the best in the workplace. We should be the best in the community. We should be the best wherever we go, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. We shouldn't be grumpy old men. We shouldn't be grumpy old ladies. We shouldn't be foul-mouthed at the bars. We shouldn't be chewing people out because we don't get the order don't get right. We should be the light that shines when we go out into the world and who we represent through Christ. He says in verse 1, for there is no authority except from God. Now, remember when he wrote this, he wrote it under a king, an emperor, that was as bad gets. There is no authority except from God. So there are rulers in places all across the world tonight that this government has been established, and they are there. And we wonder, why in the world would the Lord allow these people? Like one that comes to mind, Kim Jong-un. How in the world does this maniac continually control North Korea? Well, he says here, for there is no authority except from God. Okay? That's hard to grasp. But this is what Paul tells us here. He says the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Remember, this is something that will hold true through, if you get so frustrated with the news, this will help keep your anchor held. Even if you get rocked in life with medical news that's bad, anything that's bad, always remember this, God does not change. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that our God is who He says He is. And everything that He's planned out, He is the author and the finisher of what? Our faith. And He is in control of everything. And as we see everything play out tonight, we see that Paul says, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist are appointed by God. That is hard to grasp. But we rest in His assurance tonight over this. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Now, when we talk about that authority, what is that authority? Well, we go back to our preamble. Remember from this morning? and those things that were lined out in that preamble for the Constitution of the United States. Our republic has been created, and as our republic has been created, these are the things that we are to stand for. But as I told you this morning, those things are crumbling at the seams. So where do we make a stand in this? Just bear with me, and we're going to talk about that. Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. What authority do the government have? It says there in verse 2, those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. On themselves. If you go out living like an outlaw, be prepared to face the consequences. But in our country today, you and I don't know about you, but when I see the police and I'm going the speed limit, I still slow down. Because I have a healthy fear for those in authority. If the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States walked in here tonight, regardless of how I feel about them personally, I have a healthy fear of authority to say welcome to New Hope Baptist Church, President and Miss Vice President. Okay? There is that fear that we have of this authority that is in place. That you and I should have a conscience that's clear, and he's going to talk about this here in just a second. That we should have a healthy respect for our law enforcement. We should have a healthy respect for our military like we honor today. We should have a healthy respect for these men and women that serve in these capacities. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Brother Dwayne's a former police officer. Some of you in here have this criminal justice background, and you've seen how some of these people act. And when they resist, there's things that happen. There's things that happen. When we got our license to carry, ID card to carry with us, we were taught in the class, keep both hands on the steering wheel when you're pulled over. And then when they get there and ask you for your driver's license and your insurance, then you move your hands off the deal and you tell them, I am licensed to carry. Well, do you have your permit on you? Or do you have your weapon on you? You give them those things. You comply with them. What happens in escalation with police violence is that usually people don't comply. And what happens? Then judgment is brought on themselves. On themselves. A healthy respect for law enforcement, regardless of who's wearing the badge. Healthy respect for law enforcement. So, as we work our way through this, he says here in verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works. If you and I are out in the public doing good works, we're doing things for Christ. They are not going to be terrorizing us for that. Now, Paul found out real quickly that when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, he lost his life for that. Peter and John, I want to read to you from Acts chapter 5. Let me find that just real quick. I believe it's there in 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, listen to this, when they told him, you will not preach the name of Jesus. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's when you stand up. That's when you stand up for what's right. That's when you stand up for what's right. Over there in Acts chapter 4, again, they called him and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But I love this. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's what we're called to do. That's what we are called to do. So as we're called to do that, and we look at these things tonight on which we are called to do, we see that the government is not going to be a terror to what we would call good works. It says this in verse 3, and then I want to read from Dr. J. Vernon McGee. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? That's where our nation is today. They are not afraid of the police. They're not afraid of the military. They're not afraid of going before a judge. They're not afraid of anything like that because the way our system has been watered down. Watered down. And so Paul says very clearly, he says, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? He says, do what is good and you'll have praise from the same. If you and I go out there, we ought to be a model Christian citizen here in the United States of America, knowing that our citizenship is not here, for our citizenship is in heaven. And as we're here as sojourners and pilgrims walking on this trot, as we walk on this land, we know that this is not our home. But as we know that this is not our home, they're going to see some of the best salt, some of the best light that there is. And so as we look at that, Dr. McGee said this, and I love this, what he says. It is very difficult to say that we are to obey a corrupt government. I am not impressed by these men, preacher or politician, who are running up the American flag and singing the national anthem, listen to this, as promotions for themselves. And behind it is corruption. Frankly, I feel resentful when I hear of certain government officials and certain wealthy men in positions of power who pay no taxes at all, when I have a heavy tax burden myself. There is corruption in government from the top to the bottom, and it is not confined to one party. These unsaved, godless men who are in positions of government actually do not understand the American system. You see, the men who made our laws had a biblical background. I don't know that Thomas Jefferson was a Christian. He wasn't, by the way. He's a deist. Okay? He had a great respect for the Word of God. Many of those men were outstanding Christians. John Hancock, whose name is first on the Declaration of Independence, was a real Christian. However, in our day, the government is corrupt. I go to the civic centers in our cities and I see fine buildings costing millions of dollars who are built by contractors who are friends to the politicians. And I also see poverty areas. While both parties talk about eliminating poverty, the poverty remains. Oh, corruption is there. What's wrong with these people? Well, the thing wrong with them is the human heart. Amen. So what is a Christian to do? My business is to get the Word of God out. And my business is to obey the law. That is what Paul is saying here. Christianity is not a movement to improve government or to help society clean up the town. It is to preach the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. My friend, nothing is wrong with our form of government. There is something wrong with the individuals who are in the positions of power. That's the truth. So, as we hear that word from Dr. McGee, I just want y'all to think about this tonight as we study this. Do what is good, he says there in verse 3, and you will have praise for the same. Now, in our country today, what we consider good, the world laughs at and says we're evil. And what we see as evil, the world, they consider it good. And so I challenged you this morning on Marxism. I challenged you this morning on secular humanism. That there's going to have to be a stand where you and I make a stance for what's right. We make a stance for what's right. And so when do we stand against the wills of an evil, corrupted government? Well, let's keep moving on here. For he is God's minister to you for good. God's minister for you to good, for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now in this time period, if you did something wrong, you were killed. You were the establishment of the government took you in front of the town square. There would be beheadings. There would be crucifixions. There would be these things happening. I have said this and I have been chastised for it, but I'm going to say it again. If we went in 2021 back to the way it was in the Old West here in this part of the country, we wouldn't near have the problems that we do today. We wouldn't near have the problems we do today. So when you see this form of government, for he is God's minister to you for good. But yet I read to you this morning from J. Ty, the ordained quote-unquote Baptist preacher who is a transgender mermaid queen, king, whatever this person is. And this person tells the Democratic National Convention, we are not talking about defunding the police. We are talking about abolishing the police. And not only do we want to see the abolition of the police, we want to see the abolition of ICE, and we want to see the abolition of prisons. Listen, that is pure Karl Marx. That is Marxism at its finest. No prisons. Why? Because nobody's a sinner. Everybody's flawed with a chemical imbalance. So since we have a chemical imbalance, let's give you some medicine. Are you going with me tonight? To get that chemical imbalance taken. Because really it's not you. It's not you that's doing those things. But you have to remember what the biblical worldview is of this. Is that what? We're all sinners. Every one of us are. And the only person that can help us is Jesus Christ. That's the one who saves us from our sin. And so when we look at this here, we have to see where we stand up for this. If you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. The sword was like a saber. It was a saber that was used in the beheadings. I know that's graphic, but this is what Paul was talking about. And he says that, for he is God's minister. He is an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And again, I'm here not to make enemies, but I am here to tell you today that the death penalty needs to keep its status in the state of Texas. It does not need to be abolished. You have California, who has not seen a death penalty, and you have a thug, a spawn of Satan like Charlie Manson, sucking taxpayers' dollars in to still sit out there in prison. And to be able to come up in front of a parole officer and a judge and people to hear his case to let that maniac back out on the streets. That is an abomination to God. And California is getting what they're getting. And that's why Juan and Anna moved to Texas. Okay? The death penalty was established in Genesis chapter 9. When it was established in Genesis chapter 9, it has not gone away. Have there been people maybe put to death that were victims that were truly not? Probably. But I will tell you this. When you have a death penalty in place of lethal injection in Huntsville, Texas, it deters some people from doing stupid things. Okay? When you have a minister of justice, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject. Subject. They used to have the gas chamber. That scared me when I was a little kid, seeing those on TV. Then they had the electric chairs. And man, that scared me on TV. Then they said, oh, that's too inhumane. I think they need to be brought back. And they've had the lethal injection now where they just put them to sleep. And you watch some of these court hearings and you see people that had their last supper and they had their last words to the family and things like that. And some of that just break your heart. But he says in verse 5, therefore you must be subject. Not only because of wrath, not only because you're scared of the justice that will be served you, but why else? But also for your conscience sake. Did you know our conscience is guided by the Holy Spirit? It's guided by the Holy Spirit. Our heart, the moral of who we are, will let you down. But the Holy Spirit, you know what He does? He convicts. Amen, Brother Thomas. Every time the Holy Spirit convicts. I wish people really understood that. Because they try to make it more of this Sigmund Freud type psychology. Man, I got blown up on that in college. We're going to have your id, and we're going to have your ego, and we're going to have your superego. And this is what causes you to do the things that you do. No, let me tell you something. When I've been living in sin or going out doing sin, I was convicted of the Holy Spirit because He lived in me. And if He lives in you, you will be convicted by sin. You will be. If you're not convicted by sin, then I'm here to tell you tonight the Holy Spirit's not living inside you. It's not your id and your ego and your super. Sigmund Freud was a Marxist. Okay? You say, Michael, why are you telling us all this stuff? I'm telling you because I don't want you to be blinded by the narrative that is being pushed even on Fox News, people. Okay? Stay with me. So, we work through our way and we see that it's also for our conscience sake, for because of this you also pay taxes. Man, I hate that, but we're called to do it. I look at my check knowing. And it just fires me up to no end, knowing that some of that money is going to Planned Parenthood. I just want to rip it up. And I think about these things. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers. Okay? And the reason we pay taxes is because of God's ministers attending continually to this very thing of upholding a justice system that is going to protect its people. But now we have a push of movement that says abolish the police, defund the police, cut military spending, and what we need to do is we need to let addicts, we need to let offenders, we need to let first, second, third, fourth. That's what aggravates me. Especially with this illegal immigrant on this Molly Tibbetts case. That should have never taken place to begin with. And so when we look at these things and we see these things, here's what we're to do. When we pay those taxes, we're to pay those taxes so that our government establishes justice to do what? To keep us safe. To keep the good people protected. To keep the good people protected. Boy, it used to, you could go home and not lock your door at night. Not anymore. Not anymore. Used to, you could go out and ride around down here at New Hope on your bicycles. I remember my mom and daddy, they let us go everywhere on those bicycles, right? We'd ride. Listen, I won't even let my girls get out of the driveway today. Our world has changed so much. And why is that? Because I'm telling you, we have a situation here where God's ministers attenuating continually to this very thing. We have a government in place right now that is sucking that establishment of justice dry. And so we get to this last verse, and I want to give you a couple things and we'll close. It may take a little bit, but you just bear with me. Verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due. So folks, we are to pay our taxes. Customs to whom customs are due. Customs simply means a toll or duty in the Greek. Okay, a toll or a duty tax in the Greek. And then he says this, fear to whom fear. Fear to whom fear. I hope and pray, you know. There's a lot of people in the law enforcement field that I know personally, but when I see them, I stand up a little straighter. I wipe the crumbs off my mouth, right? Because I have a healthy respect and fear for those law enforcement that serve our county, that serve our city, that serve our country. He says, give fear to whom fear. And listen to this, honor to whom honor. And that's hard. That's hard. Because tonight it's hard for me to honor a president who has the absolute opposite values that I hold dear to my heart. But we're called to honor. And so as we're called to honor, when do we make a stand like Peter and John? When do we make a stand like Daniel? When do we make a stand like Jesus did? When do we make a stand? Well, tonight I want to give you a couple things, and Like I said, this is for you to listen to and to decipher in your own heart. You may say, well, Michael, you sound like you're off your medicine. Well, Miss Linda knows what I take, and it's only for heartburn, and she takes care of me on that. So I'm not off my medicine, but there's going to be some things play out that we've been seeing starting last year in March of 2020. When COVID-19 hit us, it changed everybody's life. And we're still dealing with the repercussions of that today. As a matter of fact, when you go up to some of the bigger cities like Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, even though our governor said you don't have to wear a mask, there's many establishments still making you, and he said, oh, you can't do that, but they still try to make you anyways. Okay? And then when you go up north, I'm told, which I'm not, but when you go up north, I'm told that it is even worse as you go farther up into some of the more liberal states. As we get ready to celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, we've had people in the Revolutionary War, Civil War, our people in World War II that were honored this morning in Mr. Creech, our people fighting evil all over the world. Boy, my heart broke this morning. Doug and I were talking about that video. That video was great this morning. And that video showed those soldiers sleeping down in those burrowed out holes. Boy, I tell you what, my heart just sank thinking about that good bed I've got to sleep in, and our military all around the world, they can barely get any sleep because of the call of duty that's upon them today. Today I'm worried that we are forgetting a legacy. Today I'm worried Lieutenant Colonel Alan West of faithvotes.org, myfaithvotes.org, he stated today that we need to teach our kids to remember. Remember what tomorrow stands for. Because when you forget your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And so when we think about our freedom that we talked about this morning, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, there are some things that have come upon us that I just want to share with you tonight that are starting to make sense to me. I preached on this a couple of years ago, and I got some interesting feedback. Some very positive, some that I was off my rocker. But now it's coming into play. And you could see this on the horizon. And now we are seeing it in full effect. You had a man run for president of the United States that was not a politician. As a matter of fact, he was a businessman. He was a shrewd businessman. He was not one of them. They hated him. They hated everything he stood for. They hated everything about him because he knew that it was time to shake up our corrupt government. Now, how do you do that? Well, you've got to have somebody as corrupt as they are. He was the president. He was the commander-in-chief, not the preacher-in-chief. And he got voted into the White House. And he made some drastic changes in our country. And every single thing he did benefited born-again Christians. And as it did, it upset the apple cart. Because the Marxists got mad, the socialists got mad, everybody that disagreed with this philosophy got mad. You mean he's inviting Robert Jeffress into the White House to pray for him from First Baptist Dallas? Don't you know those Baptists are bigots? Don't you know that those Baptists are homophobes? Don't you know that those Baptists are bad people? But yet, he invited Dr. Jeffress to lay hands on him and pray for him in the Oval Office. When he did this, it upset a lot of people. And everybody's seen the writing on the wall. You've seen, we're going to impeach him. You've seen, we're going to have riots in the street. We're going to have billionaires like George Soros fund movements in our streets like Antifa and Black Lives Matters to do what? Corrupt our society. And as all this started, everybody in their hearts could see, there's no way this guy's going to stay president of the United States. He's got his issues that make me sick. But I'm going to tell you what. He puts Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court that back what you and I stand for. And then when history is written, and it's written appropriately, people are going to look back 20 years if we're here. 20 years from now, and they're going to say, wow, look at what he did for born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we were told by the media that people at a wet market in China ate an infected bat and in the process spread a SARS-like transmission of flu to various people in the Wuhan province. And the Chinese government knew this. This is all on record. The Chinese government knew that it had been transmitted. And they allowed, in the span of January all the way up until March, 5 million people to fly out of the Wuhan province. These 5 million people that flew out of the Wuhan province, infected or not infected, what do we know? We knew that they went to all parts of the world. And as they went to all parts of the world, COVID-19 spread like wildfire. A deadly disease. And as we were listening on the news back in 2020 to Dr. Fauci every day give a report, I began to notice the President of the United States at that time distancing himself from Dr. Fauci. Then in April of that year, I came down with COVID-19. And as I came down with COVID-19, it was not as bad on me as it's been on some of my brothers and sisters in Christ. But in this process, I began to investigating a lot about what was going on. And I was not reading CNN. I was not reading ABC and NBC. I was not reading Fox News. I was reading information that was coming out saying this virus did not come from the origin of a bat in a wet market. This virus was man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China, by American scientists funded by Dr. Tony Fauci and Bill Gates. Bill Gates. Now listen. Guys, listen to me. Don't unfriend me tonight. I just want to shoot straight with you. Bill Gates is notoriously catching up with him. He has put vaccinations in Africa. He's put vaccinations in Mexico. He's put vaccinations in South America. He's put vaccinations in third world countries so that they could become sterilized so that it would what? It would curb the population growth of the world. Because they felt like, because of population growth, they have this false narrative that they're shoving down your throat and my throat. And it started with Al Gore called global warming. Let me tell you who's going to warm this globe. His name is God. That's right, brother. That's who's going to warm this globe. So I want to tell you something today as we work our way through this tonight. The Holy Spirit was just dealing with me on this. I couldn't sleep. I was researching this. And when I went down there to Lindale and they slammed that up my nose, and then I went home, and they called back that Friday and said you had COVID. I got nervous. I told y'all this. I went out that side that night. I had 500 texts and caught people that barely even knew me were texting me. and saying, "We love you, we're praying for you." And I went outside that night, I just looked up at the moon and the stars, I just prayed to the Lord, "Heal me, Lord, if it be your will." And you know what? He did. He did. But I know that in some people, it was deadly. And I'm not trying to minimize this at all. My best friend, his mother died from COVID-19. And I'm here to tell you today, if it was let loose by accident in a Wuhan lab, which read the news now, now they're saying that there is no way that it was natural, that everything points to it being man-made. One of the virologists of the Wuhan lab themselves said that there is a 1 in 13 billion chance that this virus come from a bat. They said that this virus was created in a lab. And the spike proteins, I don't understand all this. Joyce could do it much better than me. But it hooks on to good cells in your body, and that's where it attacks you at. And it's so easily transmissible. Man, they had us mask up like astronauts driving those buses delivering food. I don't know how I caught it, but I caught it. Okay? I was masked up, wasn't shaking hands, staying away from people. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, 6 feet apart. Don't breathe on people. But then, as we go through this, what we see of COVID-19 and its origins, we're seeing now that this was unleashed to do what? To destroy the very economy that this country become number one in. And it drove it right into the ground. And in that process, that man, Donald Trump, who you may like, may not like, he was ousted from presidency of the United States of America. And now we have President Joe Biden. And you say, well, the election was rigged, the election was stolen. Well, listen to me, if it was, remember who ordains the government? God. And God will deal with corruption. Mark my words. So we see these origins of COVID-19. Now, all of a sudden, just bear with me, all of a sudden, in record speed, even President Joe Biden gave former President Donald Trump credit on getting the vaccine out at record pace. No vaccine in the history of vaccines was ever produced and put out to the public so quickly. And so just bear with me, because I know some of you in here tonight have taken the vaccine. This is not where we split hairs. It's not where we split hairs. I had a friend of mine, 72 years old, come in my office and say he had, he had cancer. I'm trying to remember what kind. But as he had this cancer, he was taking treatments for it daily. And he said, "My doctor told me I got to get that vaccine." He said, "Michael, I'm not taking that vaccine." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's the mark of the beast." I said, "No, let me tell you something. It's not the mark of the beast, but it is a precursor for things to come." Just bear with me, okay? Bear with me. There are people that are over 60, not in the greatest health, that may need to get the vaccine. That is between you and the Lord. I have taken trips to job interviews this past couple of weeks all over East Texas. And I've gone to job interviews. I have seen churches that are hosting free vaccine sites. New Hope Baptist Church will not ever be a part of that, because I don't feel like it's the job of the church to promote what's coming down from Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, and the government. And so as we get here tonight, we get to a place where every commercial I see on TV, and I don't watch a lot of TV, every radio commercial I hear on KMU, because that's what plays in my office, Everything that I'm hearing, everything that's been pushing, is that you have got to take the vaccine because you are responsible for making it to where we can do things that we need to do again. I was convicted by that. So people have been telling me, you got to take the vaccine. Well, I'm not taking the vaccine. And I just want to share my heart with you this evening. Miss Barbara Little sent me a deal from her dad, was a Methodist preacher, and it preached a message on lepers. And it preached a message on the Pharisees and the way that they treated the lepers. And one of the things that Miss Little sent from her and her sister was her dad's transcript of this sermon. And I appreciated it so much because her sister said basically that if you hear a big thud, I'm pretty sure it's Daddy rolling over. The First United Methodist Church in Cleburne said this: if you are fully vaccinated, you are welcome to fully participate in worship. That don't make sense to me. When did you have to have a vaccination to worship the Lord? And now we get to the next part here, and it says the first five rows on the east side of the sanctuary will be designated for people who desire to worship with masks and remain socially distanced. And they've got all of these parameters of how to handle this. And back in March, our governor, who's in a wheelchair, said, take the mask off. He said, go back to 100% business. And what has happened in Texas? Texas has blown away the rest of the nation in what? We have had an 80% decline in cases of COVID-19. When we dropped masks at Alba Golden ISD, we went in February from having COVID cases every week to we closed the school from April and May of not having one case of COVID-19. And that's the truth. I was there. I can witness this. Natalie's on vacation this week. Our nurse that goes here, Natalie Fortner, she could tell you the same thing. So, man, it's getting late and I've got so much information. Just stay with me real quick. As we go through this, I had asked Miss Barbara, what would your dad say about this? And she said, I'm not as knowledgeable or smooth talking as my daddy and you and Jim. Well, I don't know about that, Miss Barbara. But I believe Daddy would condemn such treatment using the treatment of lepers in the Bible as biblical reference. It's a statement of you who are unclean and need to be punished for your sins. Does that make sense? And I said, amen, it does. I said, may I use this in the sermon on Sunday night? And he's got a great sermon. If I could share that with you, I'd love to on my email. So what are you getting at tonight about the vaccine? Well, we look at the origins of COVID-19. It's been pushed out by man. Now we look at the vaccinations been made by man. But Joe Biden said in the National Day of Prayer proclamation, what? He said these vaccines are from the grace of God. Oh, no. Bear with me. Charles Hoff, the doctor at British Columbia Emergency Room in one of the Presbyterian hospitals there, was banned from being an emergency room practitioner because of his stance against the vaccine. He was told that you will now need to let children know, as young as 12, that they need to be vaccinated when they come into the hospitals. Dr. Hoff said that this is absolute nonsense. He said children are not even primary carriers of COVID-19. Children need not be vaccinated to protect their teacher, to protect their parents, to protect their grandparents, because COVID-19 is very rarely seen in children at this age group. Bill Gates, by the way, gave $10 billion to the World Health Organization. Stay with me, okay? Martin Kulldorff, the Harvard medical professor, said there is no trust in the vaccine among evangelicals because of the push of a vaccine passport, telling you and me where we can and cannot go. I was told by people that I work with, and I love them, but they told me, you need to get the vaccine so that you can go travel like you and Jacqueline love to go travel. And I said, you know what? The state of Texas sure is big, and it's got a lot of places I hadn't been to yet. It's where we'll go. Thank you, Governor Abbott, for saying that we don't have to have a vaccine passport here in Texas. Martin Kulderoff, the Harvard medical professor, also said this. He said, anytime somebody speaks out against getting the vaccine, they are censored from Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, all of the conglomerates that are owned by people that are the quote-unquote legalist. Dr. Judy Mikovits on BitChute, BitChute.com. You might want to check that out. These are people that are able to speak freely about the vaccine. There are things out there that you may not know. Dr. Michael Yeadon, former vice president of Pfizer, has a PhD in virology, talked about some things that you and I may not know about the vaccine. So, I've had family members tell me, need to get the vaccine. I'm convicted not to. I know I don't look it, but I'm 45 years old. You know what? I'm in pretty good health. I still play basketball out here sometimes. I can still lift weights pretty good. I'm in pretty decent health. I can still go out and do a few things. And I went and gave blood 3 months ago. And you know what they told me? They told me that I still had antibodies against the COVID-19 virus. And when I was told that, I've been reading some more virologists, and as I've been reading these virologists, they are saying that people that have been infected with COVID-19 that have survived, that you may be like the person that can't get the measles or chicken pox anymore. Why? Let me tell you why. It's not because of science. It's because God is the ones that make our body. And as He made our body is fallen in sin, but He made our body complex, creative, and He made our body for His glory. Don't ever forget that. And so as we look at this, vaccine hesitancy tonight, Memorial Day weekend, and I think about this, why won't you get the vaccine, Michael? Well, I have a lack of trust towards Bill Gates, and I have a lack of trust for our federal government. In my age bracket, there is a 99% survival rate from COVID-19. My age bracket. Not maybe some out here tonight. That's why if you feel led by the Lord to get the vaccine, that's between you and the Lord. Side effects of COVID-19 vaccine are not proven yet. And then last but not least, this vaccine has proven what? It's proven that when you have antibodies, you have antibodies to protect you against the virus. When you have these antibodies to protect you against the virus, this is the next thing that works in this favor, is this. The vaccine is not a true vaccine. It's a quote-unquote vaccine, which is an RNA vaccine that goes in and it mimics the COVID-19 in your body that can do some things that I'm just not trustworthy of Big Pharma putting out there. That's just me. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want to try to sway anybody. I just want to tell you the truth tonight that's not being told from pulpits across America this evening. Our men and women that are fighting for our freedoms gave us the freedom to say what? We can say no to a shot. We can say no to a shot and we can come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I don't have to be told, well, you're going to be cast out of here because you don't have the vaccine. Or you're going to be put over here because you don't have the vaccine. That is shame on us as an American society to treat people that way when we get into a corporate worship setting. And I want to just bring that to the forefront tonight. If you disagree with me, listen. I love you. We can still be brothers and sisters in Christ. But know this. There are things that are being told that are not true. Last but not least. I know you're ready to go home. Now this is when people's going to say, yeah, he's really lost it. There's more. There's a lot more, and I'm not going to be able to get to it. COVID-19, the origins, man-made. Vaccine pushed out at record speed. Our society spiraling what? Totally out of control. Klaus Schwab of the United Nations Economic Forum told European nations, we needed COVID-19 so that we can have the great reset over the world, and that great reset over the world controls the economy, it controls the government, it controls the nuclear family, and it controls religion. What is all this setting up for? That's right, Anna. It's setting up for the Antichrist. That's why I ask you, just bear with me. It's setting up for the Antichrist. And here's the last thing. I said this a couple years ago, and I heard snickers in the crowd. And I'm going to hear them tonight, too. Tuesday, the federal government has between June 1st and June 25th to release what they know about unidentified flying objects, UFOs. And I've had people tell me, oh, I don't believe in UFOs. Okay, just bear with me a minute. In 2004, Navy pilot David Favar said that the aircraft that he encountered over the Pacific Ocean had more technology and more brains than the American Aerospace Engineering Company could ever come up with. This aircraft that was seen went straight down into the Pacific Ocean with no fumes, no anything. It completely vanished and disappeared. John Ratcliffe, former director of National Intelligence, said that there is information that will be revealed to the national public next month that we will not be able to explain. Are y'all seeing what's going on here? Let's go. There have been videos each week published by all major news networks of pilots in the Navy, Air Force personnel, seeing various unidentified flying objects. And as they have been seeing these videos, they are being pushed out to the forefront. And some of the narrative is that the Chinese and the Russians have developed these superior aircrafts to basically come and invade us, and this is what they're coming from. Other people said, oh no. People that have been around for a long time said, these unidentified flying objects are not from this world. They're from outer space. Okay? But then you and I as Christians know the truth. The devil masquerades as the angel of light. And there is demonic warfare going on all around us that is unbelievable. And as these sightings of UFOs come into fourth play, Event 201 said that COVID-19 origins would take place. They had a team, a disaster team ready in place for this thing to happen. Guess what? It was put on by the John Hopkins Institute in Baltimore, Maryland, by none other than Bill Gates. Come on, folks. I need some amens tonight. Listen, we've got lockdown, industrial collapse, biometric surveillance technology, mass unemployment, rioting in the streets, the breakdown of international supply and demand. I went through Whataburger today. They said, we don't have any chicken. Why? There's chickens everywhere. We don't have any chicken. We laugh. It's about to get way worse. Way worse. And as it gets worse, these things that are going to be pushed out June 1st to June 25th, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not in with the crowd. But I know that they've got to release it to us. And when they release it, they're going to tell us some things that we're not going to understand. Is it really flying saucers out there? This demonic activity that's taking place is ushering in a one-world government with a one-world economy with a one-world religion. And the Antichrist will reign supreme. But for you and I, praise God. Praise God. We won't be here. So what does that tell me tonight? That tells me tonight that you and I, we need to be looking towards the eastern sky. Amen. That tells me and you tonight, as the old famous Baptist preacher Vance Havner said, he said, "I'm not looking for signs, I'm listening for a sound." Amen. And that's the trumpet of the Lord. And so tonight I want to read this passage of Scripture as we close. And I hope and pray that it gives you comfort. If you're mad at me tonight, just pray. Because I love you. And I want to be the pastor that God's called me to be. And I wanted to give you this information tonight because I feel like sometimes nobody else does. And I want to give you this information so that we can show ourselves approved. And I want to give you this information so that you and I are not blinded by everything that's coming. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm no prophet, but I wouldn't be surprised. In June 1st to June 25th, the government comes out and says, "We're being surveyed by aliens." Ronald Reagan said the only thing that can bring this world together so that we don't hate one another and fight wars among one another is that we have an alien invasion from another world. He said that back in the 80s. What if they come in June, just like COVID, and they shut everything down? They say we're being invaded by aliens. Don't you believe that one bit. You look to the eastern sky. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. We're there. With perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see, praise God, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Church, listen to me tonight. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for truth tonight. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that things that were said here tonight is not divisive, that things that are said here tonight is not something that brings us together. And things that that just draws on people's nerves and draws on people's minds and scares people, that is not why we are saying the things that we are saying tonight. We preach under the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit to share the truth with your people. And as we see this great deception which is among us, the lies that are being told about this dreadful COVID-19, the lies that are being told and being pushed and forced upon people about the vaccinations, the lies that are being told about these UFOs. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you are the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. And Lord, we praise you for that tonight. Lord, I pray for New Hope Baptist Church that we fix our eyes upon Jesus. And as we fix our eyes upon Jesus, these things of the world that come up, the deception that is right at our feet, the snares that are trying to catch us by the feet to entrap us, Lord, that we have our eyes on you. And Lord, we know that we're looking towards that eastern sky. So as the lightning flashes in the east, so will the Son of Man return. Lord, we at New Hope Baptist Church, we as a body of believers here tonight, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, we love you. And we praise you tonight for how good you are. And Lord, this week, as we take aside a time tomorrow to thank you for the men and women who laid down their lives so that we can have the freedom to be here tonight. Lord, let us do that. And Lord, when this governmental report comes out about the lies of the devil, Lord, let us remember that you are the one that's truth. And Lord, we anchor our hope in you and in you alone. We love you, Lord. Take us into our business meeting in one accord. Take us into our business meeting with a sweet spirit.
Take us into our business meeting, realizing that the time is short. And Lord, we are called to share the Word of God with the entire world. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for a great day of worship here at New Hope Baptist Church, for Your glory, for Your honor, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.